Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us at Abounding Grace. We're in Philippians chapter 4 this week, verses 10 through 13, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians with this wonderful perspective, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, this last verse here, and especially verse 11, "not that I speak in regard to need literally, for I've come to learn in whatever state I am to be content." This word for learn here has an interesting twist. Through deep inquiry, I had come to learn this. So whatever Paul's going to say about contentment, the first thing we notice here is that it was something that Paul had to learn. It wasn't something that came naturally, and I'm so glad he says this, because contentment is something that requires discipline, an understanding again of the mind to learn this way of life. And so whatever he's going to say about contentment, we have to first see that it's something that as a Christian, we must set ourselves to understand and to learn. And I really appreciate his honesty here to us, for Paul's essentially saying that for a time he had not learned to be this. And you know what an application today, as our culture presses and our rich society presses upon us all of these things that seek to tie us to this world, contentment is something that is a lost art. But in learning, he says, with the mind, contentment is really to understand and to grasp the Christian life in this gospel mystery of sanctification. Once he did learn this, his perspective changed. Paul was able to put into practice what the content life really is in Jesus Christ. So he says here, "I've come to learn in whatever state I am to be content." So Paul says, "Look, Philippians, I'm not thanking you." Remember, he was thanking them here in this last section for a gift that they had given him. "I'm not thanking you because I'm in want of something. Yes, I'm in prison. Yes, I am displayed as an example to all who are suffering. But if I had nothing, my gratitude is not because I want something that I don't have." And in this case, interestingly, it most likely was food and bare necessities. But he says, "I've come to learn in whatever state I am to be content. So whatever distresses fall upon me, I've learned contentment." Now, what is the word for contentment here? It's a good translation. Most of our Bibles translate it contentment, but it doesn't really convey the full sense of what he's saying. The word in the Greek literally means self-sufficient. So in other words, I've learned to be independent or self-sufficient of all things or conditions that I am facing in this life. And so Paul is speaking of a certain independence that he's come to live with apart from everything that is happening to him and from what God showers down in his providence. Now this is very interesting because in verse 12, he says something even more startling. "For I know how to be abased, and I know how to live in abundance. In any and in all circumstances, I know the secret to be filled or satisfied, and to be hungry, both having abundance and going without." Now, the NAS translation picks up on this word secret, which most translations do not have. So think about what Paul's saying to us today and to the Philippians. "I have learned something that is the real secret to this life." Isn't that interesting? In just a few verses, we have one of the most profound and important passages given to the struggling Christian. "You must understand this today," he says. "I've come to learn something that is a mystery about the Christian life that few have really come to grasp. To be," and here it is, "self-sufficient in every circumstance and situation in which I find myself." Now, what do we make of this, my friends? I mean, doesn't this sound a little bit prideful at first glance? "I've learned to be self-sufficient." I mean, when I first read that, that sounds very boastful in a sense. But further, is Paul just saying here, "I've sort of transcended my mind to be independent about what I'm feeling, and I've learned to numb the pain with my mind," just like all these things our culture uses to numb our minds so that we don't really have to go through or face the reality of what is happening. Sort of like the Buddhist reaching the state of karma. Is that what Paul's after? Is Paul saying, "I've learned a better way, I've learned the real secret"? Well, whatever he is saying here, he is saying that this contentment is a trained art. That's why Burroughs, in his book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, called it a rare jewel. It's something to be learned. It's a great mystery. And those who are thoroughly trained in it are able to be independent of what? Their very circumstances. But this has to be qualified, doesn't it? What do we mean by this? I guess there are many different ways this could be understood. The really striking thing about this is it sounds something like a Stoic would say. You remember the Stoic philosophers in Acts chapter 17, where Paul had traveled up the Acropolis and Mars Hill, and there were all these Athenians and these Stoic and Epicurean philosophers. And the whole goal of Stoicism was to actually live above need and above abundance in such a way as to be self-sufficient. So that in all of your circumstances, you're not determined by these things. So you sort of become independent from anything that causes distress and anxiety in this life. Well, that sounds very similar to what Paul's saying. That's what makes this so jolting. Was Paul just saying, "Look, bring yourselves above your circumstances so that you don't feel pain"? Should you then just not mourn for a dying loved one? You should just sort of tune out your problems and, again, think upon nice things. Have your best life now, is what popular book says. Disregard your real struggles. Is that what Paul's saying? I guess that's one way you could understand Paul. Just be a Stoic. Think positively. Or maybe we could understand him as saying, "Look, to be a Christian is just to be content to suffer. Expect it. That's the way of life. That's what it is." I mean, that's a common view too. As Christians, we must suffer. That's what the Christian life should be. Don't think about it. Move on. Look, the lot is cast into the lap and it comes from the Lord. Does the Bible ever, however, tell us that we need to be content with wrong things? I mean, was the psalmist's discontentment when he cried out, "Why are you so far from the words of my groaning?" The psalmist was facing some great trial in this life that caused him substantial pain and substantial misery. Is Paul just saying here, "Hey, get over it"? You see, we're never told to be content with things that are unjust and wrong. I'm not content with seeing a loved one die, because death is an enemy, isn't it? I mean, should we be content to be poor? Should we be content to face sickness? Should we be content to watch a loved one suffer? Should you be content just to accept wrong? I think this is a common approach to these things. Well, you're a Christian, you can't have control over them, and so just don't let it bother you. This is the lot you get in life. Is that the answer? So you have the Stoic approach, or you have that approach? Is it just numb it with all the different ways to alter the mind that our society offers? I guess that's a third approach. Drugs, alcohol, medicines. Or am I just to be like a Stoic through it? Just be indifferent to my circumstance. Just rise above them. Mind over matter, as the statement goes. Well, I say to you today that none of these things are what the Apostle Paul learned. There's a mystery to this. There's a secret to the Christian life that only the Christian can have, but it's very rare, my friends. The difference is that with Paul, What Paul learned in Stoicism, with what Paul learned in what Stoicism was saying, is that the Stoic may be looking outward to withdrawal from the problems, or we may have all these things to withdraw us from the problems and numb them. But the source of self-sufficiency comes from really the self. It comes primarily from a turning to an inward ability to turn it outwardly by oneself. But what Paul is saying here, and this is the real point, I've come and I have a different source to achieve self-sufficiency, to achieve this content life. Paul is saying to us that he's come to learn the source by which his circumstances do not master him or control him. Paul's saying, I've come to the secret of the Christian life. I've come to learn in whatever state I am, not to be mastered or controlled by what I am facing when my circumstances are both good or bad. Now, this is huge. How many people who take up the name of Christian are controlled and mastered by the circumstances, the tyranny of the circumstances that attack the heart and the mind, so that they're totally controlled by these things? What Paul's saying is, I've learned in verse 13, and we're going to come to this the rest of this week, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul's sufficiency was Jesus Christ, because his delight, his contentment, his hope, all of his treasure in life was valued in Christ. Christ was the center of his life. Paul was an in Christ man. And that's what we must be. You see, when Christ is our all in all, when he fills us and we abide in him as we are called to, that is when we learn the type of contentment that the Bible presents to us. When anything else is other than Christ on the throne of our hearts, we will be discontent. But Christ must fill us as our only source of justification and life. Let me ask you a question today. If Satan were in control of a church, what would it look like? Would it be full of violence, sexual immorality, pornography, all sorts of things, vending machines, all, you know what I'm talking about. Donald Gray Barnhouse once said that wouldn't be the case. He said if Satan were in charge, on Sundays, pool halls would be closed, pornography would be banished, pristine streets and sidewalks would be occupied, everyone would be smiling, there'd be no swearing, kids would answer, yes sir, no ma'am, and the churches would be full on Sunday where Christ is not preached. Christ must be preached in season and out of season. Join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden URC, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. 318-0429 is the phone number. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.